Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to What the Ale. I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama J.
And before we get into it, Mama, what are you drinking this week? And do you have any What the Ale moments?
I'm having a Modelo, and probably my What the Ale moment is I screwed up something in my kid's schedule this week where something that's kind of two things that are kind of big conflict, and I didn't notice it until now. So I'm going to have to deal with like the school and the theater company to try to find a resolution. And, you know, the school's going to be unhappy with me because we're choosing the theater company. So I have to deal with all of that this week, and it's not going to be fun, but we will work it out.
Yeah, that sucks. I hate when I do that. I did that a couple days ago where I had two things happening at the same time and was like, oh no.
Well, I'm usually pretty good at being organized with that stuff, but I just missed these. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
What about you? Drinking anything?
Yeah, I'm just having a Corona. And then let me think of what the ill moment. Oh, let's talk about the fact that it is 25 degrees.
Oh. Well, we were complaining when it was too hot, so now we have to put up with the cold.
No, not 25 degrees. I think maybe like 50, 40. 40 would be great. No,
Yeah.
it's fine. It's supposed to snow tomorrow, and I don't know how much it's supposed to snow. And I have been a bit lazy and like haven't gotten like a scrapey thing to get ice off my windshield or whatever with my car. And
Oh.
I don't know, like, because I don't have a shovel. So, like, do I have, I don't know. I'm just doing all sorts of thinking about, like, oh gosh, I have to like deal with potentially driving my car in a couple days and like it's supposed to snow tomorrow. So we'll see.
Yeah, you haven't, when you lived there before, you didn't have your car with you, so you didn't have to deal with any of that.
No, I would watch my roommates dig their cars out and laugh and be like in the house with my hot tea. And now I have to do that. So not very fun.
Yeah.
But
You'll figure it out. It'll be okay.
Yeah, no, I figure I have a few friends who have cars, so maybe I could steal a shovel from them if it's like super stuck. So
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, today I decided to bring a case that includes a curse, psychic predictions, and blood magic that all lead to murder.
Girl, that sounds like a wild time. You got the turducken of murder. The turducken.
Doesn't that sound like lots of fun?
Okay, I'm ready.
So I'm taking us to Italy to discuss a famous Italian serial killer, Leonardo Cianciulli. And she's known as the soap maker of Correggio.
Ooh, I know who that is now.
Yeah.
I didn't know her name, but I know the soap maker for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So before I start, I want to acknowledge that her life had many tragedies and immense grief. So for the first part of the story, you're going to really feel sorry for Leonardo. But of course, by the end, it gets pretty fucked up. So your empathy kind of goes away, but yeah.
Okay.
So Leonardo was born in Montella, Avellino, which is, you know, is known as a kingdom in Italy at the time, but, you know, now we know it as like a county of Italy.
Okay.
And sadly, Leonardo was the product of rape, but after her mother's assault, she was forced to marry her rapist to avoid the shame of having a baby out of wedlock, which is super fucked up.
Don't like that at all.
Yeah. So even before her birth, this is already a tragic tale. Mm-hmm. And her mother, Amelia, was from a good family and was expected to marry well. But because of the assault, she marries this loser piece of shit who's a drunk and he's horribly abusive to her. Amelia becomes resentful of her daughter and is not shy about that. And so she becomes pretty abusive to Leonardo as well. And will like say mean things and do mean things. And I understand not being happy with the situation, but you cannot blame the child there.
No. I mean, that's not cool.
Yeah. So Leonardo's father ends up drinking himself to death. And so Amelia is able to remarry and has a much better life after the death of her first husband. But I read that Leonardo had attempted suicide twice in her youth. I don't have any specific dates or ages for that. But it just sounds like she had it pretty hard and didn't feel very loved or supported by her mother, and her dad was a, bad person. So, and then he died. So, it just seems like she had it pretty hard starting really at birth.
Wow, that's really tough.
Yeah. In 1917, Leonardo fell in love and married a registry office clerk named Raphael Pensardi. And she loved him very much, but he was very poor. And her mother did not approve of the marriage. I guess her mom had already planned for her to marry a different man. Yeah. So Leonardo claimed that her mother had cursed their marriage because she was upset at Leonardo's choice. And after that, Leonardo never saw her mom again. Which, setting boundaries with an abusive person is probably a good thing, but yeah. But she really believes that her mother cursed her. So because she was very concerned about the curse and she was afraid that she would die young because of the curse, so she went to a fortune teller to seek advice. Because she assumed the curse was going to be that she would die. But the fortune teller says that Leonardo will not die for a long time, but also told her that she would live a life of great sadness and will outlive all of her children.
Well,
Yeah. Which,
that's
if you have dreams of having a family and creating a family that's very different than the abusive family you are in, that would be devastating news.
Yeah, to hear that your kids wouldn't live long, and yeah, that's really sad.
Yeah. And, she really had dreams of creating this beautiful family, but she had so much fear that the curse would disrupt those plans that she really starts to believe that she really starts to believe it because it took them a long time to finally get pregnant. And then when she did, she had a miscarriage. So she was like in fear of like the worst, losing pregnancies or losing children, and then it came true, which just solidified that, the curse was real in her mind. And I know statistics about how common miscarriages are, but they're pretty common. They were probably even more common back then.
Well, that's the
Yeah.
thing people don't think about is like a pregnancy going to term is like actually kind of rare. Like, I mean, lots of people are doing it, but miscarriages are super common. And it's just sad that people internalize that or blame themselves or blame, whatever. It's like, no, like it's just unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's really sad. I mean, there's a ton of grief, but yeah, it's more common than I wish it was. And she's going to find that out. So in 1922, they do have a healthy baby boy, Giuseppe. But the next pregnancy that they have ends in miscarriage. And then they have three other children. And Leonardo just loves being a mother and totally dotes on her children. But sadly, the prediction of the psychic came true as her three younger children all became ill as small children and they couldn't afford medical care. So all three of those children passed away due to their illnesses. So she still had Giuseppe, but the other children all died.
Wow, that's really sad.
Yeah. And then the Leonardo and her husband have five additional children,
Oh my
but
gosh.
each one dies in infancy. So she really believes in her mother's curse. So she becomes very protective of her only living son, Giuseppe. And
I
yeah.
mean, it's hard because, like, yeah, at the time, like, medical care was not great and, like, it was hard to come by. And, like, kids not making it to adulthood, I guess, was more common. But it is really, I mean, that's a lot, that's a lot
Yeah.
of things to go through.
Yeah.
And also, like, her poor body, what's that, like,
I
eight kids
know.
now? Nine kids? 10 kids? Too many
Well, we're
kids.
gonna do the total count at the end of all this. So, but she ends up finding work cleaning up for a bank, and she's required to provide her own cleaning supplies. Now, fortunately, she knows how to make soap, and she's able to make soap that will help her to fulfill her work duties. But in 1927, she starts messing around with the bank books while doing her nightly cleaning.
Okay.
And she decides to create an account for herself, moves a bunch of cash into that account. Woman was caught the next morning. So she was convicted of fraud and she was sentenced to serve 1 year at a Catholic reformatory. And
Huh.
around that same time, she lost another child through miscarriage.
Oh my God. Dude, okay. So first of all, she tried to rob the bank she worked at. Was how okay. I mean, I'm not saying she's dumb. I'm just wondering, like, was the account in her name and they like caught it immediately? I mean, there has to be like
I don't know all the details, but whatever she did, it was not a smart enough plan that they weren't able to see it immediately the next day. So it was probably not well thought out.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have a clue how I'd rob a bank because
Yeah.
it's very hard. So,
Yeah. When
okay.
she was released from the reformatory, the couple decided to move to Lacedonia to try to get away from her past and get a fresh start where no one would know about that crime. She had three more children who all survived, Norma, Bernardo, and Piaggio.
Okay.
But just to keep count, that's 17 pregnancies that she had, but only four surviving children.
That's a lot. That is
That is
a lot.
it's a lot to put your body through, and that's a shit ton of grief.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. As I can't even imagine being pregnant more than like three times, like the idea of
Yeah.
like
Well, and again,
seven.
she just fully believes this is because of her mother's curse.
Right, but it's still so sad. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So Leonardo decides to seek out advice from a palm reader once again, and she is told, in your right hand, I see a prison, in your left, a criminal asylum. Which
Oh.
you need to remember that prediction because we'll come back to that.
Okay. Well, poor girl. I hope, it works out for her.
Yeah.
These fortune tellers seem like on it, though. Can we talk
Yeah, I
about
was going
that?
to say we need to go to Italy and get some fortune telling because they know what they're talking about.
I bet you they're like Romani people that, are very much like spiritual. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they clearly know what they're talking about, though. So, she starts to seek out advice of psychics more often and then begins dabbling in folk magic herself.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
Okay.
she takes lessons to learn about spells and tarot. She reads a lot of books, so she's really starting to dabble in her own magic. And then, really sadly, I mean, this girl and her husband cannot catch a break. So they experience another event that she attributes to her mother's curse as their home was destroyed in the 1930 Irpinia earthquake, and they lost everything.
Wow. Okay. That's really, I mean, any sort of natural disaster is very sad, but that's really sad.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. As refugees now, they move one more time to Correggio, which
Okay.
is, stonemaker of Correggio. So this is where that part of the story starts.
Okay.
And people really welcome them in and embrace them as refugees and, try to be very supportive. They're both able to find work and they both seem to be well respected within the neighborhood and in their jobs. And Leonardo becomes, kind of an entrepreneur, and she opens her own shop where she gives tarot readings. And she also sells like books and charms and things like that. And
Wow.
then, she's a jack of all trades. So she also offers matchmaking services and career services and sells her homemade soap.
Wow. So
Yeah.
she's just a one-stop shop for it all.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, seriously, like, has some skills that people appreciate and want to pay money for, and she's doing it all. People are loving her, like clearly becoming a success story.
Yeah, I mean, good for her.
Yeah. So, I mean, this story could have a much happier ending, but in 1939, Leonardo learned that her eldest son and her favorite child, Giuseppe, was going to join the Royal Italian Army in preparation for the Second World War.
Oh, she doesn't like that plan, does she?
No. Obviously terrified for her son, she was determined to protect him at all costs. And because of her beliefs in the occult and fate and magic, she came to the conclusion that in order to save his life, she needs really strong magic.
Oh God. Okay, so what is this really strong magic?
She doesn't believe that spells are enough. She decides that blood magic is the only solution and that this will require human sacrifices. Your face, Alana.
Okay. All right. Blood magic with human
Blood magic is
consequences.
what she decides.
Did she? So this is, I think, where maybe she starts to lose it a little, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So from here on out, it's a tragedy.
Yeah. From here on out, she's a horrible mess. But up until now, I have so much empathy for her.
Okay,
Yeah.
great. Glad we're here.
Yeah. So Leonardo found her victims in three middle-aged women who were her neighbors and customers and friends. Really, they were friends.
Okay, that's not cool. Don't kill your friends. They're
Yeah.
gonna come find you immediately. Okay,
Yeah.
I'm not telling you how to kill people, but don't
Yeah.
kill your friends.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know how big this town is, but yeah, probably people will notice if things are going wrong. So her first victim is Faustina Setti. And she was a 76-year-old, what they called a lifelong spinster, which I really hate that word. It just means she hadn't been married before.
Well, to be fair, Mom, I found out that you are a spinster starting at 27.
Oh,
So,
really?
I'm about to be a spinster,
Oh, good
and
Lord.
I'm reclaiming that.
I was going to say, I feel like we need to reclaim the word spinster like we reclaim the word queer. Because, like, yeah, I think being a spinster could be a good thing. It means you didn't settle for less than what you deserve, which is good.
Yeah, snaps and claps to that.
Yeah. So I don't like the word because I know people say it as like a derogatory thing, but like, yeah, we need to reclaim it because, yeah, that just means you have standards and you don't put up for nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, Leonardo, obviously, because she has matchmaking services, decides to offer help, and but really it's to target Faustina for her blood magic. So she tells Faustina that she found a suitable partner who saw a photo of her and just fell in love immediately.
Oh, wow.
So Faustina and this person exchanged some letters, and that man proposes, and Faustina was so excited to travel to meet her new love.
Oh, so this was all letters.
Yeah.
Is she
Yeah.
being catfished?
Yes, girl, she is. There is no man that's in love with her after seeing a picture.
That's
But
really
you know,
sad.
at 76 and feeling lonely, the idea of this could be her chance. She starts preparing for departure. And Faustina came to visit Leonardo one last time. Leonardo tells Faustina to leave letters for her neighbors, letting all of them know that she had found love and is moving. And Leonardo said she would make sure to communicate with people who might question the speed of the courtship in order to save Faustina's reputation. So she was like, don't worry, like I'm gonna cover for you. And I'm gonna make sure everybody knows that like this isn't a crazy thing that you're doing or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I feel like there is something to say. Like a lot of older people do get married quicker.
Yeah.
Like, and especially back then, I don't
Yeah.
know.
I was
I
gonna say,
just
back in the day, it was common to get married really soon.
Yeah, I think like, sometimes I talk to older people and they're like, you've been dating someone for 5 years? What?
Yeah,
Like,
I was gonna say nowadays, like 5 years in a prenup is pretty normal.
yeah, 5 years in a prenup, that's the
I'm
sweet spot
like,
right there.
yeah, I was gonna say that's pretty, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, all this financial stuff I look for, look at, they're all saying everybody, if you own anything, you should have a prenup. So, yeah.
I mean, honestly, a prenup is good for anything
Yeah.
too. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, you can have, like, I don't know. I've thought about that. Like, what if you, like, what if I somehow, like, wrote a book or something? And then I'm like, I want the intellectual property of that because, whatever, but also the money that comes from that. I don't know. There are things to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it depends what you have. It depends what you're doing, but I think everybody should get a prenup. I think it's smart, and marriage is a business contract, really, a financial contract. So I think it's smart to have a prenup. But anyways, back then that was not a thing, and people did get married quickly. But Leonard is going to save Faustina's reputation by telling everybody how in love they are and how
Yeah.
this isn't a crazy thing.
Well, and also, it's not like, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or whatever, but it's not like she's pregnant or something,
Yeah.
right? Like, it's not like they're getting married in a hush-hush kind of way. Like,
Yeah.
and according to Faustina, that she is getting married for love.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Believing that Leonardo has her back, Faustina goes ahead and writes the letters, and Leonardo says she will deliver them. Towards the end of their meeting, Leonardo offers Faustina a celebratory glass of wine.
Ah, okay.
After they toast and Faustina has taken a few sips, she starts to notice that her limbs are feeling heavy and she's starting to slur her words. And in only a few short minutes, Faustina is paralyzed.
Oh, damn.
So Leonardo leaves the room for a moment and returns with an axe.
Like, why?
It seems quite something. Faustina is
Back.
completely awake but paralyzed as Leonardo hits her with the axe repeatedly.
Oh my God, that's okay. So something's up with Leonardo.
Yeah.
She just.
I just don't know what kind of person could do that. I mean, to kill anybody at all, but like with an axe, like that takes a certain kind of sick.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So there's a lot of research on like female serial killers as well, and like female serial killers tend to choose things that mimic people sleeping. So
Yeah.
like poison or, sleeping pills, whatever. So that's also really interesting to me that she chose an at like
Yeah.
don't like it. I don't
Yep.
like it.
To complete the spell, Leonardo believes she has to feed Giuseppe some of Faustina's body. So she makes some tea cakes with Faustina's blood. And also make soap with Faustina's fat so that Giuseppe can wash himself with the soap. And of course, Giuseppe has no idea about any of this. So she's just feeding the boy bloody tea cakes and soap made from a human's fat, and he doesn't know.
You know, Mom, please don't ever murder someone and feed me their remains.
I love you very much, but I am not gonna do any kind of blood magic for you.
Great. I mean, I think the most we do is tarot,
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
kind of fun.
She cut Faustina's body into nine parts and collected the blood in a basin.
Okay.
But the deal is, Leonardo didn't consider how thin Faustina was, and she would need, like to kill again in order to have enough fat to really make the soap. So, she wasn't able to get enough fat from Faustina's body to make the soap that she wanted for Giuseppe.
But did she have, okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. So she didn't have enough for the soap, but like she had enough blood. Like she's
Yeah.
doing blood magic.
Yeah,
So.
so she did feed him the tea cakes with the blood, but she wasn't able to get enough. She wanted him to wash his body with the soap, but she didn't have enough, so she needs to kill again.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. All
Now,
right.
she also, it is said, benefited financially from her murders because it said that she received, but really she stole Faustina's life savings, which was about 30,000 lira as payment for her services. So back then it would have been about $862, but in today's money that would be $18,887. So almost $19,000 that she stole.
You know, I mean, good for her, I guess, but like not good for her, you know? Like, I'm not condoning murder here.
Yeah, I mean, but she does get a lot of money off of these people. So,
Yeah.
so the next victim is Francesca Soavi, and she had been pretty destitute and really needing to find work. So she came to Leonardo to help with employment. Now, Leonardo claimed to have found her a job at a school for girls in Piacenza. And again, Leonardo persuaded Francesca to write postcards that would be sent to all her friends or family detailing her plans to move for this job. She also invited Francesca to have a celebratory drink with her and gave her the drugged wine and killed her with the axe in the exact same way that she did, with her first victim. And this murder occurred on the 5th of September, 1940. Leonardo disposed of the body in the same way as Faustina's. And it said that for this, her services, she obtained 3,000 lira, which was about $86 at the time, or $1,884 today.
Oh,
And,
wow.
with this, she made more tea cakes for Giuseppe and saved the fat so that she could make the soap.
Okay. So she's now making the soap.
Well, she's going to have one more victim before she makes the soap. So she collects lots of fat in order to make the soap.
Okay.
So the
Interesting.
next, her next victim is Virginia Cacioppo. And she's a widow, but also a former soprano opera singer. And
Wow.
it is said that she sung at La Scala Opera House in Milan.
Oh,
So she's
wow.
like very well loved in the community. And supposedly she's also one of Leonardo's best friends. So,
Okay.
but she pisses Leonardo off because she starts to talk about wanting to move to a larger city. Leonardo is hurt and offended that her dear friend is planning to leave. So Virginia becomes Leonardo's next target, obviously proving that being her best friend is a dangerous thing.
Well, also,
So,
it's like kind of crazy. Like, you're sad your friend's moving.
yeah. So you're like, I'm gonna kill you for leaving me.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, she clearly has abandonment issues, but like, come on now.
Yeah, I mean that's extreme.
Leonardo claimed to have found work for Virginia as the secretary for a mysterious impresario, which is someone who organizes concerts or shows. And this was supposed to be in Florence. And she told her that the job also comes with a wonderful apartment.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, my question is like, why is no one asking how Leonardo knows all these people?
I think they all trust her. Like, she seems to be a successful entrepreneur. I think they just trust her. So, oh, and then she also tells her that the job is overseen by an artist that specializes in operas. So that's even more of a like draw, because obviously Virginia is an opera singer, and I don't know if she still wanted to perform or just be around that, but that was one of the draws to this particular job. As with the other two women, she encouraged her to write letters to all her friends and family. And on September 30th, 1940, she became the last victim. And, obviously her last visit was supposed to be a goodbye to her bestie, but Leonardo had those other plans. The pattern of murder was the same as the first two. Now, unlike the first two victims, Leonardo melted the body in order to make the soap. So this was the first time that she actually did make the soap. And she brings the soap home and tells Giuseppe that she needs to give him a bath with the soap. And she's like frantic, feeling like this is the only way to save him. And he's like, no. But she insists, and she washes him with the soap and feeds him the tea cakes. And with that, she believes that she has saved her son's life.
So she had to wash him herself because it's well.
Yeah, she felt like to complete the spell, she had to wash him. So, and I don't know
Okay.
how old Giuseppe was, but he was grown enough to join the army. So,
Yeah, I mean, if he was like 18, like
yeah.
that's a boundary for me. I mean, I don't
Yeah,
know.
that'd be weird.
Be a little weird.
So, from Virginia, she gets a really large payday. It's reported that she received 50,000 lira, which back then would have been $1,436, but now that would be $30,675. Plus, she received us or received she stole assorted jewels and public bonds. She also sold all of Virginia's clothing and shoes and things like that. So this was a big payout for her.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like she wasn't like flaunting though. It seems a little like maybe people might catch on to that one.
And a really fucked up thing is that she starts giving the tea cakes and bars of soap out to neighbors and friends. So not only is she choosing cannibalism for herself and her son, but she's feeding it to other people, all without their knowledge.
Ew.
Oh, and FYI, the parts that she didn't use, she disposed of in the septic system, which seems like a bad idea, but.
Ew. Like, okay, so she's really making choices. Did she eat the tea cakes herself?
Yeah, she thought they would keep her safe and break her mother's curse and all the things. So, yeah. So, Virginia's sister-in-law comes to visit Leonardo. Her name is Albertina Fonti, and she's suspicious that Virginia would not leave the way she did and not stay in contact. She immediately becomes suspicious of Leonardo and goes to the superintendent of police, Reggio Emilia. And as the police investigate, they learn about the two other women who supposedly left suddenly and find that all three women were last seen at Leonardo's shop. They collected all of the letters that the three women had sent and realized all of the letters were sent on the same day, even though they left at different times.
Oh, interesting.
Witnesses also said that it was Giuseppe who dropped the letters off, which would, is suspicious. And the police believe that Giuseppe is responsible, and they bring in Leonardo to question her about her son.
Oh no, okay.
When she realizes that they're accusing her son of murder, she decides to confess. Her ultimate goal in all of this was to protect her son, and she can't let him go down for this. So, when she confesses, they don't believe her at first and think she's just protecting Giuseppe. But then she tells them all of the details about how she did these crimes. Obviously, everybody is horrified. Giuseppe, when he finds out, he completely cuts her off and never speaks to her again,
Wow, I
which
mean,
don't blame him. Yeah, do not blame him at all. And she had no regrets or remorse. She felt like she did what she needed to do to help her son survive the war. So really, like, even though the one was like her friend, the other two were neighbors and customers, she just had no remorse. Her trial was on hold for 6 years because of the war. But when she is finally, goes to trial, she's sentenced in 1946 and receives 30 years in jail plus 3 years in an asylum.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if you remember that prediction, in one hand I see a prison cell, and in the other I see an asylum. That psychic clearly knew what she was talking about. Like, she saw that coming.
Yeah. Okay. So My question with that is like, so she, do they do the asylum first or do they do prison first? Like, do we know like how that
I
works?
don't know.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, it just says she was sentenced to both. She dies on October 15th, 1970, of cerebral apoplexy at the age of 77. A number of the artifacts from this case, including the pot in which the victims were boiled, are on display at the Criminological Museum in Rome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. And there have been many like movies, theater productions, and music about this incident or her life and this incident. And one of them is a dark comedy. It's a play about her called Love and Magic in Mama's Kitchen. And that was like in the 70s. But this show, it was at a festival at this Spoleto Festival in 1979, and then it had a run on Broadway in 1983,
Oh wow, so it
which
was like,
I had no idea about this.
huh, very cool.
Yeah, but there are four movies, one song, and then two other theater productions that were, made about her story. So I just found that really interesting.
Yeah, like especially that she was so, I mean, it makes sense. I feel like people love these type of stories, right? So
Yeah.
kind of makes sense, but it's interesting.
Yeah. So, but that's the story of the soap maker of Correggio and just a crazy story. I mean, curses, blood magic, psychic predictions that are clearly true. Like, I mean, it was just a lot of, I mean, you can't blame her for being scared her whole life. I just wish she found a more productive way to like cure her fears, or
Yeah.
maybe the psychic for other ways to avoid tragedy, and not just go to blood magic.
Yeah, it would have been really great if she didn't choose murder. Maybe she should have meditated.
Yeah, I think so. She should have done some, affirmations and some mindfulness, and yeah.
Also, like, where did she learn blood magic is my question. Like, I feel like
Well,
that
I
would
mean,
be.
it said that she had been studying and she was reading a bunch of spell books. And yeah, I mean, it seems like she really like invested in learning about all of that.
I mean, I guess, people, desperate times, desperate measures, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is not how one should behave.
Yeah.
So,
So, anyways, that's my story for you.
well, thanks for sharing. I guess, friends, if you like this episode, you can like, subscribe, rate it 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. We have an Instagram you can follow, which is WhatTheElPod. We also have an email account you could reach out to us at if you have any topic ideas or just want to talk to us or say hi, which is WhatTheElPod@gmail.com. And then lastly, we have our Patreon account, which you can go and we put bonus episodes up. So feel free to check all that out. But outside of that, I guess I want to say I appreciate you, Mama.
I appreciate you, baby.
And we appreciate you, friends. Bye.
Bye.